Trendstorm.
Welcome back to Trendstorm. Now let's take a look at whether the Palestinians will succeed in toppling the Israeli premier. Last week's ceasefire between the Palestinians and Israel catalyzed a fast-moving chain reaction of political developments. That saw the defense minister's surprise resignation set the stage for possible early elections next spring that might ultimately topple four-time Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. It would be a stretch to say that the Palestinians foresaw this scenario when they responded with rocket fire to a deadly Israeli raid in Gaza, though they certainly must have expected that Israel would retaliate with crushing force. What nobody predicted, however, was that Netanyahu would suddenly agree to a ceasefire that proved so controversial to his cabinet that it prompted Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman's resignation and threw Israeli domestic politics into chaos. The Prime Minister has since struggled to retain his coalition's ultra-slim majority in the Knesset, arguing that early elections are irresponsible during such a sensitive time for Israel's security and imploring his partners to simply wait until next November's scheduled ones instead. On the topic of security, however, Lieberman warned that Netanyahu was, quote, feeding the monster, and if we don't stop it from getting stronger and gathering force, we will have Hezbollah's twin in a year, end quote, suggesting that the premier himself is the one who's soft on Israel's security and is irresponsibly endangering it with the latest ceasefire. This dramatic statement positions Lieberman to the far right of Netanyahu, who's considered by many to be a center-right politician, thus further polarizing Israeli domestic politics. Netanyahu already has enough of a challenge dealing with Israel's leftist opposition, so the defection of the right-wing hawks from his coalition could lead to an electoral free-for-all that could dramatically shake up the government. Furthermore, this looming uncertainty is taking place amidst the backdrop of the Mideast geopolitical transformation, as Turkey positions itself as the Palestinians' international champion, Russia returned to the region as a force to be reckoned with, and Trump prepares to unveil his so-called deal of the century for restarting the Palestinian peace process. At such a sensitive time, the last thing that Israel needs is to be domestically destabilized, so the question becomes one of whether it's better off holding early elections now or trying to weather the storm till November. Folks, the dramatic events of last week are continuing into this week and will certainly seem to define Israeli politics for the near future. Now, I'm very happy to announce to all of you that we're going to have an extended interview with Mr. Casey Washer for the entirety of this segment. Casey is an expert from Ohio. He has a bachelor's in Russian from OSU, and he teaches Israeli history and Hebrew at a Jewish private school.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Casey, what is it about the latest Gaza ceasefire that makes it so controversial, and do you think that Defense Minister Lieberman's resignation was a sudden response to it, or a pre-planned political maneuver that was just waiting for the right pretext?
I think it's probably a pre-planned political maneuver waiting for the right pretext. As of in a few months, Netanyahu will become the longest-serving prime minister in Israel's history, replacing David Ben-Gurion, who was the first prime minister of Israel. And I think that puts a lot of pressure on him from both sides, because obviously his enemies don't like that he's now the longest-serving prime minister in Israel's history. And then the kind of posturing that he's done throughout his career that's kept him in power, his coalition is moving increasingly to the right, and they want to see him take more decisive action and do a little less political posturing. And I think that they decided that if he took it easy on Gaza, so to speak, that they were going to react to it as a political maneuver. I think it was pre-planned. They were just waiting for the right pretext.
Okay, I understand.
In my opinion.
Okay, well, you know, the far-right Jewish Home Party said that they'll remain in Netanyahu's governing coalition as long as he addresses their security concerns in Lebanon, Gaza, and elsewhere. So, Casey, do you think that he'll comply with their demands, or will he just try to delay what might be the inevitable collapse of his coalition?
He will probably try to capitulate as much as he can to their demands. He probably won't want to see Israel maintaining a party, which I don't know if you know, this was actually founded mostly by Russian immigrants to Israel, is an increasingly right-wing party. And, okay, the problem is in Israel, even the liberal Israelis who believe in a two-state solution, studies have shown that over 80% of Israel's Jewish population, although they may believe that eventually a two-state solution will happen, do not believe that it will happen in their lifetime. Now, that's the left. So the right, the people that don't believe in the two-state solution, period, or who are more interested in expanding the settlements than pushing the peace treaty, they're obviously going to want him to take further action. So I think that I think just given the fact that Israel as a whole is moving more to the right politically and the left is very pessimistic, that he's probably going to take more decisive action.
Okay, and I'm actually pretty interested in the leftist spectrum of Israeli domestic politics, because they are the opposition right now after all. So what is their stance towards the Gaza ceasefire that is supposedly so controversial and this current crisis in Netanyahu's coalition? Casey, given your familiarity with these groups, can you also tell us how popular they are and if they could possibly defeat Netanyahu in early elections? I know you just said that Israel is moving increasingly to the right, but based on your prior description of the left wing of Israeli politics, it sounds like, you know, they might actually have some common interest with some disaffected individuals in Israel.
First of all, I want to point out that the blockade of Gaza is both an Israeli and an Egyptian blockade. That's not very relevant to your specific question, but I always like to point it out whenever we're talking about the subject. But the blockade of Gaza, I was actually in Israel in 2007 when Israel withdrew from Gaza. And at the time, it was only the very left of Israel's political system that were really in favor of it. It never would have happened if it wasn't for the fact that Ariel Sharon, who used to be a right-wing politician, kind of defected to the center and was trying to make the left more happy, because it was a hugely unpopular decision to withdraw from Gaza in 2007. In fact, I went to the largest, the largest political demonstration in Israel's history was held, was held outside the Western Wall in the summer of 2007 to oppose the withdrawal from the Gaza Strip. So almost universally across Israel, the withdrawal from the Gaza Strip has been seen as a disaster, and it's been seen to validate everyone's worst fears about what could happen. If it happened in Gaza, then to most of Israel, if they try and do the exact same thing in the West Bank, which is about four times the size of Gaza, then it's going to be much, much worse. And if that were to happen in the West Bank, that could pose serious threats to Israel's security. So I just think that people want to see Hamas, first of all. More than anything else, people want to see Hamas no longer in power in Gaza. And that's almost across the board on Israel's, from the left, the middle, and the right, don't want to see Hamas in charge of Gaza. So any ceasefire or military incident or whatever, this is like the third major military incident in Gaza in 10 years. So like they're going to want something. They're really going to push for new elections, something that will get Hamas out of Gaza. And I think Netanyahu, what he tried to do with the ceasefire was actually do something different than what he normally does. And I think it totally backfired for him. So I think he's going to have to do something that will elect some guys there to priority across the Israeli political establishment. And whatever his next move is, it has to do something to that effect.
Trendstorm.
Thank you for sharing your personal experience with us on the ground from 2007. That was really fascinating to hear everything that you saw and everything that you heard. And they really kind of puts things into a proper perspective nowadays about what Netanyahu was doing and their reaction to it. Now, if we look at things from the Palestinian perspective, I mean, of course, they also must be astutely aware of just how fragile Netanyahu's coalition is right now. So do you expect some of their armed groups to risk maybe, let's just say, as a scenario, provoking a security crisis if they calculate that there's a chance that the aftermath might dissolve his government and lead to the election of a so-called moderate, or in any way somehow pressure the government to kind of do what you just described Ariel Sharon is doing in 2007?
I believe that first of all, it would be both. I think they are trying to do that, and I understand why they're trying to do that and why they might think that it would help. Because during the instruments, even with Netanyahu's critics, every time somebody says Netanyahu's been there too long, you know, Israelis pride themselves on the fact that they have what we in America call the peaceful transference of power. The fact that Israel's had about a dozen prime ministers in its existence, and the Palestinians have had basically two leaders, is something that Israelis are very fond of pointing out as being a big flaw in their political system. They like to say, oh, our system's better, because even if we don't have a good guy, we get someone else every few years. So Netanyahu's position, even though he's very strong politically, is decidedly weak because he could be pushed out. A lot of people are looking for a pretext to do it. And I think a lot of the Palestinians think if we can push Netanyahu out, that will make Israel weaker because he doesn't really have any good substitutes. And in that position, they might be right. But I think they're underestimating the fact that, again, a lot of Israel is moving politically to the right. So whoever replaces Netanyahu might be a bigger, tougher on them than he has been.
Yeah, that could definitely backfire on them, it sounds. Yeah, I was just agreeing with you that it sounds like if that's what they have in mind, it could definitely backfire on them then.
Right, because I don't think the Palestinians might think this is a good chance to get rid of Netanyahu, and they might be right. But I think the Palestinians think whoever will step in for him will be a lesser figure or someone that might be a weaker person. But if I were a big man, if Netanyahu got ousted, it would probably be someone like Avigdor Lieberman or Naftali Bennett or someone who's way more to the right who would replace him. So I think it would backfire on them.
Okay, so since we're talking about right-wing politics now in Israel at this point of the conversation, how likely is it that the far-right members of Netanyahu's coalition might actually push him into provoking a security crisis under the threat of leaving his government if he doesn't? I mean, or maybe understanding that by even doing that, they might have their own opportunity to take charge. And Casey, altogether then, what do you see as being more likely in the near term? Another Israeli-Palestinian conflict, early elections, or both?
I do not think that Netanyahu's and his right-wing allies are going to purposely try and cause any sort of security threat that would harm Israel. But I do think that they absolutely have a plan in case there is a threat. Do you understand? Like they don't want to cause it, but they have a backup plan in case it happens.
Contingency planning, so to speak.
I think that they're hoping to rise to the occasion that he'll stop this latest incident in Gaza, and that they could just continue business as usual, you know, tightening up the government and so forth. But I think that they are not sure because he kind of showed his hand a little, because he made a misstep. According to them, he made kind of a little bit of a misstep. And I think they're now planning in case the situation gets worse. I do not think they would purposely cause a security incident, but I think they absolutely would have a plan in place in case that incident occurred.
Okay, so I guess just to close everything with our conversation then, what do you think will occur? I mean, we've discussed what the left might want, what the Palestinians might want, what the right wing might want. What do you predict could be happening? I know it's very difficult and we don't have a crystal ball here, but given your sense of the situation, how do you see things playing out?
If I were a betting man, I think if the rockets continue, I think if the attacks and the protests continue, Netanyahu will probably sweep some sort of military response. That generally tends to be his what he does. And that's why people were so thrown off with the ceasefire. I think if it continues, he will sweep a military response. And depending on how effective that response is, because people are sick of, they feel like in Israel, they say Gaza is like trimming your fingernails. You know, like you fix it, and then in a few years, you got to fix it again. So I think they're going to give him a chance to fix it, and he probably will end up using some sort of military option, and it will quiet down for a while. But I think if it flares up again, or if he doesn't fix it, it just keeps going, then he's going to lose the next round of elections. This might be his last year or so in the office. I would be surprised if Netanyahu was still in power in 3 years.
Okay, Casey. Well, you know what? I got to say, this was a very, very informative interview. I like that you presented angles that aren't usually brought up on alternative media. I think that people do very well to think about what you mentioned. You certainly did a great job of explaining the ins and outs of Israeli domestic politics. I also thought it was very interesting how you mentioned that Netanyahu is pretty much caught between a rock and a tough place. I mean, he doesn't really know what to do in this situation and is being pressured by all sides. So it definitely seems like he's the man of the moment. All eyes are on him, for better or for worse, and what he does or doesn't do is certainly going to shape events in the near future. So thank you very much for coming on to our program again. I really thought that your interview was very informative, and I was really, really so happy to host you, Casey. Thank you again so much. So folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.